Oh Lord, take our lips and speak through them.
Take our minds and think through them.
Take our hands and work through them.
Take our hearts and set them on fire for you. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray.
Amen. Amen.
The opening act, the
the warm-up performance. John the Baptist, an unusual, somewhat quirky figure in Scripture. You know, he's the one with the locusts and the wild honey and the camel's hair clothing. Just someone who you needed to be that front man. He got people's attention. All the more so, because if John the Baptist hadn't been there first, I don't know how much Jesus would have been heard or understood. Jesus, in some ways, was a relief after John the Baptist. And you'll hear more about him next week. There's kind of two parts to his message. But get the people's attention, he did. He stirred them up. He awakened them. He got them ready for the real deal, the Messiah who would get to come. And as only true prophets can be, he was, in fact, someone that was irritating and got under people's skin. Frederick Buechner wrote that few people ask a prophet home for supper more than once. Isn't that a great line? Few people ask a prophet home for supper more than once. You show them the door and you say, you know, we'll be in touch. And then that is it, because they are so provocative and so thought-provoking that you really have to take time to think about it. And that's because prophets expect change. Prophets expect things to change. And that's a difficult place for a prophet to be in. Because prophets not only see what's wrong, they see how the wrong can be made right. And very often we're great at acknowledging that there's wrong, but we're not so good at changing to make it right. You can think, I'm sure, of any number of situations, not only here in our midst, but in our communities, in the world, where, yup, we've got a problem, but I'm not so sure I want to accept the change that's going to fix it. Next week, when John the Baptist speaks again, you're going to have a longer list of things that are expected of us to change. So this is kind of a 1-2 sermon. So like a good advanced man, I'm just going to warm you up now so that you'll come back next week to hear part 2. But a good summary of this was written by a wonderful commentator of the scripture, Jane Myers, and she wrote this. While prophets are often single voices crying in the wilderness of injustice, greed, and oppression, they also call out communities of protesters. As I listen to modern protesters and think about John the Baptist and the ancient prophets, I ask myself, what is the repentance that is calling me to turn around and put the values of the kingdom of God in action in ways that I never have before? I ask myself, what prophetic voice calls me out of my comfort zone to join a community of protesters for justice? What would I agitate for with the fervency of a prophet? What would I gather in community to loudly protest? That is your question to answer this week. What would motivate you to join in a protest because you felt so strongly about the matter at hand and so strongly about the need for change? All politics is local, and to some degree, so is the prophetic voice. But today, we hear from John that salvation will come now, in our time, to all people. John's question, then, is our question now. How in our